Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
You have a great product here.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Russ signing with the Steelers. Josh Jacobs going to the Packers. And Christian Wilkins going to the Raiders. Kirk Cousins signing with the Falcons. Saquon tweeting out two Eagles emojis. No cap there.
Today's guests. Senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer. Actor Liam Cunningham. Plus, latest news and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show with news a-popping everywhere is on the air on the Roku channel, which is free on all Roku devices known to mankind. Also available on Amazon Fire TV, select Samsung Smart TVs. It's free on the Roku app because the Roku channel's on it. And the RokuChannel.com for those who'd like to use the old internet tube straight up. We're live on this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate, smart enough to have a Sirius XM Odyssey. We're on our podcast version every single day, all 3 hours. If you miss it, if you miss any part of the show, we re-air on Channel 210 as soon as the show is over. Albert Breer is about to join us in about 15 minutes time. We're going to have a full-on half-hour chat with him about what happened yesterday, what's happening now, what has happened today already, and there is a significant signing to re-hit. We talked about it at the end of hour number one. Hour number three, we're going to pause the free agency chat. Liam Cunningham, the actor who, known as Sir Davos from Game of Thrones, is going to be here in studio. He is in the new show that is executive produced by David Benioff and D.B. Weiss, who are the EPs of Game of Thrones. It's their first show together since Game of Thrones went off the air. Writers, they're also writers alongside Alexander Wu. It's a new show called Three Body Problem. It is mind-blowing. It's in the world of science fiction, and it starts streaming on Netflix March 21st. It is all kinds of, like I said, wild and awesome, and he's in studio in hour number three. And of course, you can get Netflix right here on the Roku portal. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll get to your phone calls in a second. The story just broke. The news just broke, as sent out by all the information men and women, pretty much wherever you get your information, and also from the man himself. Derrick Henry is a Raven, which is 100%. Like, if you could think of a Raven and know what their brand is and create someone in a lab to be a Raven, I think it's going to be Derrick Henry, right? Ray Lewis defensively. Roquan Smith is in that mold.
T-Sizzle.
You know, right? You're just thinking of somebody who's just muscles on top of muscles, who is just fearsome and to be feared and to be rolled downhill in an offense that likes to run the football. Derrick Henry as a Raven is a stroke of genius, certainly since it's $20 million for 2 years. And that's when he, if he earns everything. In the grand scheme of things, you're seeing money being handed out to tons of players on other sides of the ball, on the line and whatever. And obviously it's a team game, and it's so important to get the blocking scheme down, to get the other team's quarterback down, to defend a wide receiver, to have a wide receiver. But, man, Derrick Henry can control a game, and the Ravens, if they need help just putting a game in the oven and letting it cook, or putting a game in a freezer and ending it, he's the way to do it. Now, I understand the pushback might be, hey, this still doesn't handle things if you're down 10 to the Chiefs. How does this get you back in a game where you're not leading, that you're not playing from in front? And we'll see how the Ravens handle the rest of their free agency season, and also their draft. But when you are talking to a fan base that is highly disappointed in a playoff result based on the regular season success, and that fan base is wondering, how are we going to finally get over the hump? One way to answer the question for your fans, and also for the locker room, to say, we're not going to just rest on the laurels of last year. We're going to add, and we're going to show everyone in the league that we mean business, is to go out and sign somebody like Derrick Henry. And that's all one big setup to say, what in the heck are the Dallas Cowboys doing? I told everybody when I came back from the combine, in my top five rumors I heard at the combine, that Jerry Jones's definition of all in isn't what you think it would be. All in is to go ahead and get Derrick Henry. Go ahead and get another weapon on offense for an offense that put up hardly anything on the Green Bay Packers in their one-and-done playoff loss of 2023. That's all in, by saying we're going to put the future on the credit card and we're going to get more people for this roster that was good enough. That was good enough to be the two seed. That was good enough to look so dominant over most this year. But instead, Jerry Jones's concept of all in is to make everybody on the team, including the quarterback and the coach, to play for this season for their next contract. Even if that means the quarterback has to play on an astronomical cap number. And it sure looks like what I heard at the combine, that they were going to let Dak Prescott play on his cap number of damn near $60 million, just so they can say, let's see if you can do it with no future dollars or years on your contract. Play for your supper here, sir. Instead of extending this quarterback and getting the cap space for someone like Derrick Henry. That, to me, is not a definition of all in. And I, you know, we talk about it all the time. I play poker. To me, after you flop in the playoffs, all in is you go all in right after the flop. We're not seeing another card. We're going all in, and I'm pushing every chip that I currently have to the center of the table. And in free agency, that means you're adding to your stack before you go all in. You rebuy, right? You rebuy and you go all in. And you rebuy by making sure you have every possible chip you can have, which is Derrick Henry or Saquon. The Eagles are going, that's all in, I think. Instead, what they've done is they've checked. They've checked off the flop. They checked. Go ahead, let's see more cards. I'm sticking with what I got.
Hoping to hit. They got a straight draw.
And that's what he's hoping to hit, the straight draw. He's trying to suck out on the river.
That's right.
On the rest of the NFL. And I think the NFL, some of them might have already better hands. They're checking. As a matter of fact, you know, everybody's got free agency trackers. We pulled this off of the NFL.com site because we're NFL.com people here. There you go. They re-signed their long snapper. That's how things are going right now. We are currently 25 hours into the new league year negotiating window. 25 hours. And the Cowboys have done the important work, all of it is, of re-signing their long snapper. Honestly, I told everybody. And they were in on Zach Moss, who went to the Bengals from the Colts. And he had a terrific breakout year because the Colts used him while they were waiting for Jonathan Taylor to come back from injury before signing him finally to a long-term deal. And Zach Moss, apparently, $4 million a year was too much for the Cowboys. And they're letting their left tackle go? Tyron Smith is going? Now, again, I'll give them the same benefit of the doubt to see what they do in the draft, and they could hit it. Let's say they get an offensive version of Micah Parsons, and they might need one at the running back spot.
There's a lot of talent in this draft coming up.
Now, I know that, but not so much at the running back position. Maybe they draft Blake Corum. My guy from Michigan. Maybe they draft him late in the first round. I don't know. Let's see what they do. Let's see who they add.
Definitely not. That's an offense. We're going line in the first round.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay. And the Dallas Cowboys, because they were one and done. They're 24th on the clock. I don't know. You're going to have to figure out that spot, and you can get, again, I know you get Isaiah Pacheco in the seventh round, and he wins two Super Bowls in a row, and that's the way it's done now for teams that feel like their roster's already set. But this is one of the wildest stories of this year, is Jerry Jones's reaction to losing to the Green Bay Packers is to check the flop. That's not all in. All in is the other way. But he's going, I guess, all in on his belief that the roster is winning, and the only thing that's missing is the sword of Damocles hanging over their head by an NFL playoff thread. That's what's missing, is the threat of no longer being a Cowboy. And I proffer to say Dak, probably cares a lot about being a Cowboy, but seeing what Kirk Cousins has made his entire career, playing out franchise tag to franchise tag to three-year deal to three-year deal to three-year deal, making what? He's closing in on $400 million of his playing career if he plays out his entire Falcon contract. And he went from the Vikings to the Falcons. I mean, does it mean that much to him to be a Dallas Cowboy? Like, he's going to try harder? It's really a weird way of going about it. It really is. Extend him, keep him there for at least two more years, get this cap room, and get somebody more than your long snapper. But will you stop rooting for the Cowboys if this gambit doesn't work?
No.
Okay, so maybe Jerry knows that.
I mean,
and he's trying this. So
this team has never gone all in since, I think, maybe Deion Sanders was the last time. This is just something that they don't do. And for as much sense as we think it makes to go after this, we've already seen the running back market has shied away from guys over 30. So therefore, the majority of people weren't going to give how old is Henry? Chris, 31?
They're not going to be 30.
30. Okay. Yeah, yeah. So we've seen the market go away from that. And the Cowboys have never been.
Yeah, he just turned 30 in
team
January.
To do stuff.
We will see it.
I'm not. Is it surprising? Absolutely not. And you came back from the combine. You said this was the word, and you told us what was going to happen.
And
so
it looks
that's
like,
why I'm
well,
not
I also
surprised.
Said, in all honesty, I also said that the backup plan for the Vikings, what I heard, was Trey Lance, and it's clearly Sam Darnold. Because maybe the Cowboys' backup plan, if Dak does fold when on the all-in, and there's another flop, maybe it's Trey Lance's time. I find that one hard to believe, but this is the way that the Cowboys are reacting to the latest playoff flop. I think they're checking, but they say they're going all in. We'll see. We'll ask Albert Breer what he thinks. And you, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. So much more to go on this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Why did Saquon have to leave? What did Kirk Cousins decide? What is going on with the rest of free agency? Albert's got the answers. That's next.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a
likelihood. So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Becky, I don't mean to interrupt your conversation
we were
something called the Rich Eisen Show.
I know. It was like
it's kind of funny. Like, we're counting down 5-4, and he's just like, "Have you been on it yet?" I mean, like,
we just
he can't answer. Like, we're literally you're here. The count.
I got the count. Okay. I'm on.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's multi.
Do you want to answer?
Brockman didn't even answer me.
Because he knows we're coming back.
I wasn't even listening.
Yeah. Oh. Brockman literally puts, there's like a wall here.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is. He doesn't have to leave. He has Del Tufo. What do we call it?
Something about planes and...
Me and TJ were talking about like a plane.
Del Tufo was accusing TJ of taking a private jet and then not talking about it.
When did you take a PJ?
I did.
No, TJ. I was just busting his chops about it.
TJ's PJ? What do we... I didn't know.
Del Tufo was claiming that he could tell... It was based on the windows.
Yeah, I took a window.
That if it's a commercial airline or a private aviation situation.
100%. Well, I mean, you could see if there's like a like a string and it, like a little mini blind.
No,
you could
not
tell.
Even that. I could tell by the shape of the window.
The shape of the window.
100%. Do it. Test me one day.
Do it. Test me one day.
So it's, I guarantee it. I've been on every type of like
instead of like a soda taste test.
Yes,
it's a window plane test.
Now I can't tell you every airline, but I can tell you the difference.
But
between,
you can tell commercial or private jet on a
window.
Wow, that's interesting.
Wow.
Probably you could probably sense that, right? Because you could see the wall.
That's
right?
The wall. The wall gives away a lot, too.
What if you see Brockman's socks? Will you know the difference?
I know that's Delta or American or something.
Nice.
Is that fair? Unfair?
I mean, my feet are going to be under the seat. I don't know.
Yeah,
how
he doesn't put
them
up. He's not an animal like that. That's an animal.
6-hour flight, man. The feet got to breathe.
Feet got to breathe.
You know
what
I mean? By the way,
what about the
that.
Other passengers?
He's too tall to put his feet up anyway.
I don't worry about anybody else. Nice. Nobody should worry about me.
Wow, that's
good
a
segment.
Weird way to look at it.
Great job, guys. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. He's one of the best in the business. He is the man in charge of the MMQB for Sports Illustrated and a good friend back on the Rich Eisen Show with a ton going on. Albert Breer, good to see you, Albert. How's it going?
I'm great. My phone's fully charged and
nice.
Yeah, all good.
That, seriously, like this time of year, you got a Mophie, right? Or you got to like, you cannot. Like, how about this? How low of a battery do you let your phone get before you start to really panic? Like, where are we?
I'm married to somebody who will not get in a car with less than a half tank of gas.
Okay.
What?
So, okay. No, she's a very smart woman. Okay. All right.
And I'm the guy who'd run it down to like 10 miles left.
You're like Kramer. So. You're like Kramer. You're going on fumes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So right. I have learned to be careful with this. And, you know, like there's that little, like when it gets red is when I get nervous. So I don't let it get to that point where it's like the little sliver. You know what I mean? Like I won't go there, but I will let it get red. You know, everybody knows what I'm talking about.
Of
that
course.
Little sliver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't have it. Yeah. So once it gets down to 19-18%, you reach for some juice is what you're saying.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. And I try to like just keep it. I mean, I can text on my computer now, you know, like that really, I mean, everybody can text on their computer, but I have it set up. So I do a lot of my texting on my laptop anyway. So that saves the phone juice too.
This is how you're on top of anything. I like it. Okay. So let's jump into it because the biggest move that has the biggest ripple effect is Kirk Cousins deciding to go from Minnesota to Atlanta. That seemed to come together real quick. Well, what's the origin of all this, Albert?
You're saying suspiciously quick?
No.
Suspiciously quick?
for a big move, you know, a couple hours of open window chit-chat, it was interesting. But what's the genesis behind it here?
Well, this is like a result of the last 3 years, really, and kind of how sideways the Falcons' plan had gotten. You know, and I think, like, for good reason, Arthur Smith and while he was still there and Terry Fontenot had a plan to, you know, build something up for a new quarterback and build around the quarterback position so they could put one in there and be so fully supportive of him. And, you know, I think their pursuit of Deshaun Watson a couple of years ago sent that plan a little sideways where they offloaded Matt Ryan probably a year before they'd planned to. And then rightfully so, they didn't like any of the quarterbacks in the 22 draft, you know, so they're sitting there in 22 and it's, you know, Kenny Pickett and, you know, and Sam Howell and Desmond Ridder. And you remember that group. And so, you know, they don't take one in the first or second round. They get Ridder in the third round. And then, you know, like last year, same thing. They're sort of out of the range to get CJ Stroud or Bryce Young or Anthony Richardson. So they continue to build and build and build. And as often happens, the owner can get a little impatient, and that's what happened and, you know, sort of led to the conclusion for Arthur Smith. So I do think there was a lot of pressure on the people in the Falcons organization to get this taken care of right now. And they were fortunate to have an option out there. And it wasn't the only one, but they were fortunate to have an option out there that they were very familiar with. Raheem Morris was with Kirk Cousins in Washington for Cousins' first 3 years from 2012 to 14. You know, and then if you're talking about like scheme carryover, well, Zach Robinson worked under Kevin O'Connell in Los Angeles in 20 and 21. So when Zach Robinson's looking at the tape from Minnesota, he sees a lot of familiar things, and there's a lot that's going to carry right over to what they're going to do in Atlanta. So it was a perfect fit in a lot of different ways. It filled the need that, you know, I think there was pressure on the building to fill. And, you know, so they were going to be aggressive with this. Again, they had a backup plan. They were going to look at Baker Mayfield if Kirk Cousins didn't work out. And Justin Fields was also an option for them. But Kirk Cousins was option 1A. And, you know, certainly they attacked it aggressively and they go out and get him. And this isn't the fully guaranteed deal that Kirk Cousins got in 2018 from the Vikings. This is really essentially a 2-year deal, and then we'll see. But it does give the Falcons an answer for right now and the chance to unlock, you know, a lot of what they've built there and spending top 10 picks on guys like Kyle Pitts and Bijan Robinson and Drake London. And then, of course, you know, having the offensive line that they've assembled and paid.
And of course, now they can use the 8th overall selection on the best player available and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. But the question also lingers as to why Cousins is happy to move, right? I mean, Kevin O'Connell is a clear quarterback coach, former quarterback himself. Justin Jefferson is the guy he's going to be throwing to. So why was Cousins so eager to just bolt Minnesota? Albert,
I think he loves Kevin. Like, I think he loves Justin. I think that those things are there, and you're right to point them out. No question. You know, I think as much as anything, Rich, this is about like the history of the negotiation and what happened over the last couple of years. And, you know, I know when they put an offer in front of him last offseason, the 2023 offseason, that offer didn't guarantee anything past 24. So he's looking at it and saying, okay, I know I've got this year, and they're really only guaranteeing one extra year. And it was made clear to him at the time, like, look, like, you know, we love you, you know, we want to keep you around, but we're not doing what we did before with the 3-year fully guaranteed deals. They did that twice for him. They made it clear they weren't going to do that again. And there were going to be limits on how far they were willing to go. And so, you know, you put a player in that position where he's got to incur the extra year of injury risk. And then he tears his Achilles while taking on that injury risk. Well, now you're looking at it, if you're Kirk, and you're saying, okay, well, they let it get to this point. I tore my Achilles, and, you know, now I'm going to go to the market, and I'm not going to do a hometown discount. You know, I'm going to give them a chance, but I'm not going to do a hometown discount. And so I do think that because of the history there, this became a highest bidder situation, and the Falcons wound up being the highest bidder.
Okay, so then what does this mean for Justin Jefferson? Any sense that Sam Darnold doesn't light his fire, or the bag is coming no matter what, and he's just going to take it from Minnesota? What do you think?
Well, I mean, from a PR perspective, they sort of have to. You know what I mean? Like, it's, I mean, if they lose Cousins and then Jefferson is able to shoot his way out of town, that's not great for where they are. Again, they love Justin Jefferson, and I think they want to pay him, but there's – because of where the negotiation has gone over the last 12 months, there's a tax they're going to have to pay for him now. This is why you do star players after 3 years. You know, like, this is why the Chiefs went in on Patrick Mahomes after 3 years. It's why the Bills went in on Josh Allen after 3 years. If you wait and you make a player play through the fourth year and, again, to incur that injury risk, and Justin Jefferson is another one who got hurt last year, that player is going to be much less inclined to take less to stay where he is. And so you add that to the fact that now you've lost his quarterback, and that could affect his ability. And I've talked to him about this in the past. Pursue his goals, you know, being a Hall of Famer, wearing a gold jacket one day, becoming the greatest receiver of all time. Like, that's all stuff that Justin Jefferson has thought about. Well, it's going to, you know, cause you to look at these things a little bit differently. So, yeah, I mean, I think it does color where this negotiation goes going forward. And, you know, if those are your goals long term, it's going to take a leap of faith now to believe, like, okay, like, this is, you know, this is, you know, like what I want to latch my, my next 5, 6, 7 years to. Like, this is the this is the organization I want to do it with. So, you know, I think it's on the Vikings now to present a very real plan for what this is going to look like going forward beyond just Sam Darnold. And I would caution people to say, like, there's a lot of offseason left. The Vikings could still find a way to trade into the top three to get one of those three quarterbacks, or maybe they really like your guy, J.J. McCarthy, you know, and maybe they can trade up to get in position to take him. There's a lot of time left, but obviously, you know, I think as far as where the next 4 or 5 or 6 weeks go, if the Vikings wanted to engage Jefferson in negotiations, what just happened is going to color those negotiations.
I'll push back a little bit here. J.J. McCarthy is really our guy, Albert, since we both met him in person together.
That's true, yeah.
At the same time. Okay, just want to...
I thought he was really pleasant. I love I love my interaction with him, too.
Me, despite, too. I love being there for it. Albert Breer here on the Rich Eisen Show. So, Cousins moves to
Atlanta.
It was
a great moment for Rich, by the way. No, in case anybody ever...
It's okay.
It was a phenomenal.
We've already turned the page. So Kirk goes to Atlanta, Baker stays put, and then everybody else who does appear to be in the market for a rookie quarterback, Vikings, Raiders, Commanders, Patriots, sign a backup quarterback or potential starter, right? Sure.
Yeah.
Russ with the Steelers, and we'll put a pin in that as to how that happened. But I'm saying all this as the setup is, where does Justin Fields go? Like, what's the market for him right now? Albert.
Yeah. And, you know, like the Bears' logic on this was they had sort of felt like they had to wait for the market to come to them. You know, when they investigated this over the last couple of weeks and looked into it, part of waiting was, you know, like the market at the top is sort of stopping things up, you know, with Kirk Cousins, the uncertainty what was going to happen with him. Same thing with Baker Mayfield. And so, you know, they felt like it was, you know, all right, like this could take some time and we have to be patient here. And unfortunately for them, I think the two teams that might have been most interested wound up, you know, taking care of their quarterback vacancies quickly, one being Atlanta with Cousins and the other one being Pittsburgh with Russell Wilson. And so that leaves the Bears now in a position where, you know, it's do we have to adjust what we're asking for, what we're looking for at the position because what we're looking for Fields in a trade? Because their initial thought had been, we're looking at the Sam Darnold model, we're looking at the Alex Smith model, and those trades, like the trading teams got second round picks and then some. And if there's not a team out there willing to make Justin Fields their starter, remember he's only under contract for one more year, and the option for 2025 is very, very expensive. It's $25 million. Well, you know, if you're the team on the other side of that, can you give up that much? And then you want to take it to another level. Okay, like somebody like Philadelphia, say, is interested in bringing him in as a depth piece and insurance, injury insurance, and maybe, you know, somebody that they can develop into something more. Well, you know, like, okay, like, are you better off, you know, is that team, you know, like want him for a 4 or 5? And then if that 4 or 5 is out there, are the Bears better off just sitting on the asset and waiting, you know, and saying, like, let's get to April and maybe a team doesn't like what it's looking at in the draft and wants to trade for him. Or let's get to July and August. Maybe there's an injury and we can trade him then.
Jeez.
And then on top of that, like, is Justin Fields amenable to that? And what's that going to mean for the health of a quarterback room that could have Caleb Williams in it? It's complicated, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, you think about all of those different things. It's complicated. So I just, you know, I think it's going to require a conversation that, you know, maybe it's already happened between Ryan Poles and Justin Fields and Matt Eberflus, where they sit down and say, like, look, like, if we're going to draft Caleb Williams here, are you comfortable with that? You know, are you going to help him? Is this going to be a healthy situation? You know, I think they have to have those conversations and that be part of it, and then wade through the rest of it accordingly.
But give me a team that might be willing to send, you know, a third day draft pick now. For
Eagles.
For Russ, really?
Eagles,
come on, dude.
I mean, would you do it if you were Philly? Russ.
For Justin Fields?
For Fields, yeah. Would you do it if you were Philly? Think about it.
Why? Why would you do it for if you're Philly?
If you're Philly, right? And Jalen Hurts incurs the amount of damage he does playing him the way that you do, and you're looking for somebody who could fit, like who could logically be next to him and fit, and somebody who, like, say. You know, say and I'm not hoping this on anyone, but say Jalen Hurts turns an ankle in camp and Justin Fields starts the first month and he looks great in the offense that they built for Jalen Hurts. And now in October, somebody has an injury at quarterback and now you can flip him for a higher pick. I don't think it's the worst idea in the world. And when you're in such a win now spot, like the Eagles are, you don't go and sign Saquon Barkley. If you aren't, like, wouldn't it make sense to have that insurance? A guy with the amount of starting experience,
but I mean,
the offense.
So basically the Bears would check a box that they get their guy offloaded, but Fields wouldn't be a starter. So you're saying there's entirely a possible that Fields doesn't start this year, that the best case scenario for him might be to back up somebody on a terrific team? And
I just don't know where the opening is. I think the supply in the quarterback market really hurt him here. In that, like, if you were one of these other teams, say you're the Raiders, right? And they got Luke Getsy, who was the coordinator in Chicago last year. And you say, okay, we can either have Gardner Minshew for whatever it was, $12.5 million, right? And we get him signed for 2 years, so we have 2 years of him. Or we trade a 3 and a 6 or a 2 and a 7 for Fields. What do you do? You know, there were just too many of these veteran options out there, Jacoby Brissett, Sam Darnold, that were going to come without the expenditure of a pick. Now, if I'm Minnesota, do I look at it? And I don't think I'm going to be able to go up and get one. Like, if I investigate going up and I can't get one, if I'm Minnesota, do I do that? Maybe. You know, then you have Fields and Darnold. You get sort of two bites of the apple, two swings at it, and, you know, you see what happens. Like, that sounds sort of enticing, but do the Bears trade him in division?
No way.
You know, it's just
that I don't think that's an option. That just can't be an option.
I mean, so it's like it's just really hard because I think there were a lot of these veteran quarterbacks out there who have a lot of starting experience. Again, guys like Brissett and Minshew that were available without draft pick compensation. And, you know, I think it sort of created this environment where it was going to be really tough for the Bears to move Fields if, again, things didn't happen at the top of the market the way that they'd hoped they would. And obviously with Cousins landing in Atlanta and with Wilson landing in Pittsburgh, they didn't play out the way the Bears would have hoped they would.
Albert Breer laying it down here on the Rich Eisen Show. So is there going to be a competition between Russ and Kenny Pickett? What is your reporting on what Mike Tomlin told Russell and led him to say, okay, let's go to Pittsburgh right now?
Yeah, so I'll take you inside that process. So Friday afternoon, Russell goes and he meets with Mike Tomlin and Omar Khan and the Rooneys and all of that in Pittsburgh. And they make no promises. They set expectations. They say, this is what it's going to be if you come here. And after meeting with the Giants and the Steelers, Russell goes back on Saturday to kind of take a deep breath and consider his options. And one of the things that they had sort of looked at, Russell's camp had looked at, was the idea of a second year on a deal. It'd be a kind of a way of working around the fact that there's no additional financial benefit right now to signing with somebody because the Broncos already owed him the $39 million. So they broached that with the Steelers. The Steelers said, no, we'd like to do this as a one-year thing. You know, you come in at the minimum, the Broncos pay the freight, and we see where it goes. And my understanding is Russell wanted to go to Pittsburgh bad enough where he was amenable to that. And to go in there at the league minimum and compete for the starting job with Kenny Pickett. And I think from the Steelers' perspective, it's really good too. Like, I don't think if I were one of these teams and I had a rookie quarterback going into the room, I probably wouldn't do it because of everything that Russell brings with him. I don't know that you'd want a celebrity quarterback next to a first round rookie, but that's not where the Steelers are right now with Kenny Pickett. I mean, the Steelers are coming off of a year where, I mean, quite frankly, Russell's tape was better than anybody they were putting out there, right, in 2023. And where, I mean, you could argue Mason Rudolph outperformed their former first round pick in Kenny Pickett. So I think what this does is you put him in the room, right? You put Russell Wilson in that room, and one of two things happens. Either it absolutely lights a fire under Kenny Pickett and he turns the corner like you didn't see happening, and now all of a sudden Kenny Pickett looks like your future again, or you have your final answer on Kenny Pickett and he doesn't beat him out. And now you've got an experienced quarterback for 2024. And you're in position to reassess when you go into 2025. Like, I think both those results are pretty good. You know, not ideal on the other end of it, but either Pickett shows himself to be the guy that they wanted him to be when they drafted him in the first round, or He shows himself not to be, and at least then you have your answer.
But it is going to be an actual competition, however that looks, whatever Tomlin sets it up, in OTAs again, and in the summer, and there's no wink, wink. Russ, you're the former, Seahawk on the path to Hall of Fame QB. It's your gig. You're like, that's not.
Yeah, my understanding is no promises were made. So I'm not saying the competition will carry into the end of August.
Mm-hmm.
But I am saying, my understanding is it'll begin as a competition and Kenny Pickett will have a chance to compete for his job. And again, I think, based on the tape in 2023 from, what the team saw, I think Russell goes in as the favorite, but no promises were made.
A few minutes left with Albert Breer, the MMQB and the MMQB NFL podcast co-host right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Why is Saquon Barkley an Eagle, Albert?
It's a good question. I think it's because the Giants had sort of moved on, and the Giants were kind of moving into this next phase of what they're building behind Joe Shane and Brian Daboll. And I think the other piece of it is, the Eagles, for as much has been said about them not investing in running backs and looking the other way, of the three biggest running back deals in free agency over the last 10 years, the Eagles are responsible for two of them now, DeMarco Murray in 15 and now Saquon Barkley in 24. And you can say, Howie wasn't really behind the Murray deal, but the Murray deal only replaced another massive running back contract in Shady McCoy's. So, I think it's a good example of how the Eagles stay loose with those rules, and how they're flexible. And, how in this case, the running back market had come down to the point where it's a bargain. It's actually a good deal they're getting here. This is $12 million a year. I mean, Hunter Renfrow makes $15 million a year. I mean, no offense to Hunter Renfrow, but who would you rather have in your offense, Saquon Barkley or Hunter Renfrow?
Hell yeah. Right, of course.
It's just gotten to the point where these deals for running backs actually wind up looking pretty good. Now, you got to take on the extra year, right, of risk, and that, that he's going to fall off a cliff, and he's at that age going into year seven where it could happen. But I think this is an opportunity to add a guy who is going to impact you in the passing game, who, could look pretty scary as a running back standing next to Jalen Hurts and everything that Jalen Hurts brings to the table. To just add another element to an offense that's already throwing A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert at people. And so I think it's just sort of an example of the Eagles, not staying hard and fast to some of the rules that they've had in their building over the years and seeing an opportunity here to get a player that could wind up a couple years down the line looking like a relative bargain.
And plus, we just, again, the 49ers add Christian McCaffrey to a team that seems to be set everywhere else, and it turbocharges their opportunity to win a Super Bowl. And the Eagles might be doing that with Saquon Barkley. And I started the show this way today, Albert, that the Giants coming off a playoff season with their quarterback and their running back looking together like they did against Minnesota and one and dunning the Vikings that year, you re-sign the quarterback and you franchise the running back and you try and go to work and it falls to crap. And now you hit the offensive and defensive lines. You go back to the line of scrimmage. Yeah. You start building from the inside out, which is what the Giants did yesterday. I got to tell you, it looks like a team resetting for a new quarterback. That's what it looks like to me. Is that what the Giants' plan is in your estimation?
That could be another landing spot for our guy JJ there too.
You think
right?
So? You think that's one, but Fields? I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, it seems to me like they're ready. Yep. That's what a team that does what's on the screen right here. And again, I proffer to say maybe the Jets aren't the best example. The Jets sent Jamal Adams away. You know what I mean? They sent their safety away. They got some draft choices for him. That's not what the Giants lost their safety rather than paying him yesterday. But they're right. We're not paying a running back despite how he's the face of the franchise, and we're not paying a safety. We're going to pay Brian Burns. We're going to pay two offensive linemen. We're going to get another running back in Devin Singletary, who's more than serviceable, and go to work. But that also means we're going to start. This is not for the quarterback they currently have. That's normally what it looks like. What are you hearing about the Giants playing a quarterback, Albert?
I mean, this is very Buffalo-ish what they're doing, right? Like that they, like if you look at the way the Bills were built, and obviously that's where Shane and Daboll came from. There's massive investment in the premium position. So they paid Josh Allen, of course. They also paid Deion Dawkins at left tackle, Steph Diggs at receiver. They've spent high draft capital.
But
on
they had
Ed
Josh
Oliver.
Allen, brother. I mean, Josh yeah, Allen's I mentioned not
Josh
through
Allen.
The door.
I mentioned Josh Allen, but they're investing in premium positions. And like you look at like the lines of scrimmage now and what they've got there between Kayvon Thibodeau, Dexter Lawrence, and Brian Burns on defense, and then on offense, you know, Andrew Thomas at left tackle. They spent a top 10 pick on Evan Neal. Like they've invested in the lines of scrimmage. And that's the foundation here. And it puts them in position to go and support a young quarterback. No question about it. And they are, I can say this, one of the teams that has inquired with teams in the top three about a move up. Doesn't mean it's going to happen.
Right.
But they've inquired with teams about doing that. And so I think they're looking at all of their options at quarterback now. And I think that that if the right opportunity comes along, they are in position to take the young quarterback now. And Daniel Jones's contract sort of sets up this way, right? Like where – I mean, everybody went crazy and 4 years, $160 million. Really what it was a 2 year, $80 million deal. And it allows them to bail from the contract after 2025, which, you know, they knew they weren't drafting one last year. And so like now this year puts them in a position where they could draft one and have Daniel Jones there as the placeholder and say, okay, like if the kid comes along fast enough, then great. We'll throw him out there, you know, but we want to have the flexibility to redshirt him. And, you know, Jones has been around now. This is going to be his third year in Daboll's offense. You know, he can go out there and be your placeholder pretty effectively while the young quarterback gets ready to go. So I would agree with you 100%. Not only are they a team to watch when it comes to the quarterbacks in the draft, they've actually investigated moving up and seeing what it might take to get up into that top three.
Last one for you, Albert, and I appreciate the time. What are the Cowboys doing? What are they doing?
I would say bracing for what's to come. And what's to come is the Dak Prescott negotiation. What's to come is the Micah Parsons negotiation. And, you know, I know, didn't Jerry make the comment, was it all in? Was it something like that?
And I thought that meant the negotiation for Dak would happen now. You extend him and you have more space for, say, someone like the running back could just sign with the Ravens about an hour ago.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right, Derrick Henry, which, you know, like the rumors there because he has a house in Dallas. Or
I don't know. Plus that's exactly what they could use.
I will say, like, in all seriousness,
Kirk Cousins,
sometimes real estate does lead you down the right road.
Follow the Zillow, Albert. Follow the Zillow, you know? So
I think it's bracing for what's ahead. And bracing for you know, the potential that they get both Dak Prescott and Micah Parsons done this offseason and what it's going to cost to do that. And I, you know, as much as we've focused on Dak Prescott and what that's going to cost, I would not like look past it how complicated the negotiation with Micah Parsons could be and how difficult that negotiation could be. And so, like, I think that there's part of this where you're keeping your powder dry because you know those things are coming down the pike.
But why not do it now and get the space?
You're going to have to get creative.
That's what
I'm
saying.
That means you're going to have to get creative with the way that you do things. And you remember last year, I believe it was during draft weekend, that they traded for Stephon Gilmore, and that wound up being a really, really good addition for them. So I think for teams looking to be creative that have to maintain financial flexibility, the time to dive in usually isn't on the first day of free agency. There's a lot of offseason left, and I would expect that the Cowboys will be creative the way they were last year in trying to add to their roster because they need to maintain that financial flexibility because of the two big ticket items sitting there on the roster.
But I thought maybe you do it now, get the flexibility on the cap, and use it to go all in with guys who are available right now that can help you win the games in January you've been struggling to win.
You could. This isn't a great free agent class either, too.
Okay.
So that's the other part of it. Like, and I know we all get excited this time of year, but it drops off pretty quick after the top end. And I know there were some teams out there that teams I consider smart teams that felt like this wasn't the year to spend because of that. Because when you're talking about a class that's like got a thin layer of top talent, right? Then that top talent necessarily is going to get paid because you're going to have teams bidding on them feeling they don't have backup options, you know? So I do think for, you know, some of the teams, even like the Ravens really like Derrick Henry, but they didn't sign him on day one, right? Like they signed their own guy in Justin Madubuike, and then they go out and they get Derrick Henry on day two, not on day one. You know, I think that there are a fair amount of teams that you would consider some of the smarter teams in the NFL that – I think, strategically took a pass on the first day of free agency. Even like Detroit, right? Detroit goes out and trades for Carlton Davis. They were pretty quiet otherwise, weren't they?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a good example of it, too.
Albert, you're the man. You always make me smarter. And it's fascinating every single time you Zoom with us. And I always appreciate it. You're the best. You be well.
All right. Thanks, Rich.
You got it. Follow Albert Breer, at Albert Breer. Didn't expect the Eagles coming back at me when I'm like, where does Justin Fields wind up? But that's why we have Albert on. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Your phone calls. Don't go anywhere. Back with more in a moment. What is it like when you're back there? You know you're going to get it.
Yeah.
The 8 in the box or 9 in the box that you see knows you're going to get it.
Yeah.
And you know you're going to give it to them.
Yeah.
And they know you're going to give it to them. What is that like for you?
I just love the game. I love having the ball in my hands, and I love making plays. And I don't know. It's just the game, man. Like, that feeling when everybody knows and they can't stop it, it's an indescribable feeling, man. And that's just speaking for, like, us as a team. And, you know, I just love the game.
Yeah, I know you're smiling. You're just smiling as you're saying this. It is just, it must be an amazing feeling.
A lot of fun.
To have that ability. Derrick Henry here on the Rich Eisen Show. Did you hear what Earl Thomas said before the divisional playoff game in Baltimore, saying that the Patriots didn't want to tackle you, but they were going to have a different
approach? Oh, yeah, I seen it everywhere. Everybody was sending it to me. Everybody was showing it to me. Yeah, I seen it everywhere.
Okay, so now later on, you're in Baltimore. You get the ball. You're on the edge. Did you know that was Earl Thomas that was coming for
definitely
you?
Definitely knew that was Earl Thomas.
Did you give him a second shove because it was Earl Thomas?
Yes.
I was wondering. Because you gave him one in the front, and you gave him one slightly unnecessary one in the back.
But what's so funny about that is I was so focused on giving him another shove that I ran myself out of bounds. So I just remember the first time he kind of turned around, and I could have turned up field, but I was so focused on this, like, giving him a shove that I ran myself out of bounds. But I definitely did that because of that.
So then the last question is, was it worth it to run yourself out of bounds?
I think it was, yeah.
That was a massive human being then. He still is now. But now he's a Baltimore Raven as opposed to back in our Miami Super Bowl days. Back on the Rich Eisen Show, the Game Time app. Go and get it on a mobile device right away and start buying tickets to the best events near you. Sports, music, comedy, theater events near you. Game Time has it all. It gives you a view from your seats. You can see where the stage is, the court is, the ice is, anything that you want to make sure the seat is a proper view of. Boom. In-view seats. You can see it. And also, all in prices. So it shows you your total up front. So you know you're getting a great deal before you check out and buy tickets in seconds with just two taps using Game Time. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use our code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account, redeem the code RICH, $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Zach in Long Island's been hanging on for a while. What's up, Zach? Nassau or Suffolk? Where are you?
Suffolk, Rich.
All right. So you're out there. What's going on?
I'm not too upset about the Saquon going to Philly thing as a Giants fan.
Okay.
I'm just a little annoyed that we didn't get any trade value for him in October. But I'm more concerned about Daniel Jones's injury guarantees. So I'd really like to see the Giants go and try and make a move for what I think is a kind of a proto Josh Allen and the Mac Jones valued Justin Fields.
So you would like to go and use draft capital that you didn't get for Saquon and give it to the Bears and then pick up a fifth year option for next year on the spot. That's going to be half of what Daniel Jones is making, but still that's a significant amount of money, and go that way as opposed to stick and pick maybe J.J. McCarthy or Michael Penix, sixth overall, or use the draft capital that they might give for Fields and a little bit from next year, maybe the second this year as well, to go up and get Drake May. You'd rather do that.
I just think we're going to get leapfrogged, and I think J.J. is going to go. The QBs are going 1, 2, 3, and I'd rather have Rome or Malik at six, I think, for long-term success.
Mm-hmm. All right. I appreciate also, the time, Zach. Oh, yeah? Yeah? Yeah?
I think the Cowboys going all in means this is going to be a gold jacket long snapper.
Go Zach in Long Island from Suffolk County. In case anybody's wondering what Zach means.
That was great.
NFL.com's fantasy free agency tracker shows you the Dallas Cowboys now almost 26 hours into free agency window shopping, just re-signing their long snapper.
Well, congratulations.
I don't understand why you guys mock this. It was an area of need, and we addressed it. So, like, aren't we winners, really, if you think about it? Like,
how about what Albert said, that they know they have to renegotiate with Dak and Micah? Mm-hmm. By the way, he didn't mention CeeDee Lamb. That's got to come, too.
Oh, he's got to get paid.
All right? So they're looking at that future, and they know it's going to be tough to do.
Yeah. Areas of need, Rich Eisen. Okay.
I don't know. I would think you do it now. You do it now, at least one of them now, to give you the cap flexibility to give Derrick Henry the $7 million and change and start winning. That's a way you can win a playoff game.
I get that, Rich, but then what would we talk about if they did that?
Okay.
You know,
I'm sorry. I should be thinking of the content rather than your happiness. My bad. Liam Cunningham, hour three, coming up.
Cowboys 24th overall.
In what?
NFL draft.
Okay. There'll be a good player for you to take there. There'll be a player for you to take there.
Couple good running backs I got my eye on.
I don't think they want a running back there.
Not first round.
I don't know if the lineman will be there. I know it's deep. It's deep. There's a deep lineman draft. There could be one there.
Yeah, that's a lineman spot.
They need the run stuffer. I'm telling you,
you know what they
needed more than anybody is Christian Wilkins, but they're not paying him because they have to pay Micah. They got to pay Dak, but they may not pay Dak.
We need your boy Mozzie to step up in year two.
I know that.
For sure.
Oh, I know that.
Which I think he can.
I know that. Ooh. Mozzie Smith is the guy that should be doing that. Oh, did something just happen, Chris?
Yeah.
All right,
Rich,
stand by.
Something happened.
Stand by. It's 4 minutes to go until the top of the next hour, and we'll get to that then.
You want
to
wait for this?
Yeah, we got to wait for it because I don't want to just give it.
No radio, I got you.
This makes me look smart.
I can feel it.
Okay.
I can feel
it. Makes you look smart. Let me try and guess what that means. All right.
How?
Is there a big? Oh, nice. Is it someone get cut? Was it a trade or a free agent signing? What was it? Why won't you tell me?
I'm going to give you the Phil Ivey face.
Which is what?
Here, coach.
Is it a cut, a trade, or a signing?
Rich, we'll find out in 3 minutes.
All right. Should I not even look online?
I would not spend the next three minutes. I would not look online.
Like putty on a plane, staring at the seat in front of me. Like vegetable lasagna.
Do it.
Back for hour three.
Do it.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.